This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing, Naomi?
I'm okay. I'm a little bit croaky today, so if my voice sounds bad, that's why.
The great British weather's taken.
It was your turn last week and it's my turn this week.
No. Hopefully it doesn't turn into like an ongoing like ping pong.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a few news snippets lined up today. Can we just hop straight in with the first one?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So this is an interesting one. Google is being threatened with being broken up by the US.
When I first read this article, I thought it was like broken up with. I was like, is the US going to break up with Google? Like, are they having a little lover's spat? But they mean we like...
no contact.
The US government's going to mute Google on all of social media platforms. But it means breaking up Google.
Yeah. So apparently they're considering seeking the breakup of the world's biggest search engine, Google, which is accused of causing pernicious harm to Americans. I mean, that sounds a bit wild.
That's a big claim. That's a big word to use.
Yeah. I mean, Google's been pushing back, saying that it's pretty radical and sweeping and claiming that it's risking to hurt like their consumers, businesses and developers because, you know, Google's become the go-to search engine for nearly every internet user in the world.
Mm.
Like, most people will use Google. Like, the only other sort of site I've heard of people using, I think it's like DuckDuckGo and like, every so often people mention Bing, but it's usually a joke.
There's another one as well. Is it called like Ecosia or something like that, which is supposed to be like
a tree planted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
But I like you hear about it, but none of them ever gain as much traction to really contend with Google.
Yeah, because basically what Google's been accused of is using its other products, such as Chrome browser and Android operating system, to funnel users to its search engine where it makes money selling adverts. So, I mean, I kind of see where they get the monopoly from.
Yeah.
Can they get rid of it by law? Like, will anyone step up or... I don't know. Is this the best way to go about it? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? I think with digital products, it's like this thing of like letting them grow without regulation. You then, this feels like you get to this point where it's like, oh, we've accidentally created this giant monster that we can't control in any way. Because it feels like it's such an integrated part of internet usage now. And like, it's so crucial for so many businesses to have good search engine optimization, which is a huge thing now for like developing your product or your content or whatever to be able to be viewed quickly when being searched. And a lot of that is powered by Google. So it's like, if you were to disrupt that, what would it... I can't even think about how you would go about doing that.
Yeah, I mean, for a start, I guess, I have been like hearing certain things from Twitter and like, you know, just talk amongst people saying that they don't feel like Google is as good as it used to be, mainly because of like all the SEO and like all like the advertisements at the top. So maybe it's time for, like, you know, someone else to step in. But yeah, how do you do that? Who's going to step up? How would they make it profitable? Like, I guess we've got this issue now. Like, if you compare the internet to where it was maybe when we were growing up, or even, like, say, 10 years ago, it's like, I wouldn't even say it's tripled in size. It's probably, like, grown significantly more than that. And it's like, how do you decide what to show to people and the weight that you give it?
Yeah, yeah.
And if people can pay to have higher weight to be shown to people, and also if you can use this SEO to be shown to people as well, then Google's the only person in control of all of this. I can get why that's problematic.
Yeah, it's like, are they going to have... Yeah, are they having an agenda, you know?
Yeah. Oh my god, are we going into conspiracy? And that's our favourite thing. No, but like, it's not even an agenda. It's like, you know, money can pay for certain things, and is that always what we need when it comes to like innovation, or even like just things like the internet. Like, supposedly the Google search engine's free for users, but is it really free when you're giving away your advertising data constantly? Like, is it really free when you're being, you know, shown information based on what other people want you to see?
Yeah.
And you're not actually getting the information that you want?
Yeah.
Like, are you paying with your, I don't know, with your brain power at this point? Like,
it is a really interesting question. I do wonder if we will, you know, like, will we see like a massive change? Because it does feel like the internet is powered by monopolies of like Google and and Meta. Are we going to almost...
And they buy each other up as well. Like, think Instagram, WhatsApp and Facebook were all separate, and now they're all owned by Meta.
Yeah.
Right? And then the only sort of outliers you've kind of got now, like when it comes to social media anyway, are Snapchat and TikTok.
Yeah.
And then there's the smaller ones.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess Twitter's owned by Elon Musk now, but he still owns like Tesla, you know, and a lot of big sort of tech companies. It's like they all sort of turn into like little mini conglomerates competing against each other for the attention span of people on their phones or on their computers, because they know that generates revenue and people just get hooked to the computer screen. Oh my God, I'm going back into disaster capitalism and the fact that we need to get rid of our devices. Okay, stop me on this tangent. It happens every time.
Or is it really just telling us a story?
Oh my God, I read something yesterday that, right, I might not get the exact numbers correct, but it was saying that like if the average, you know, time per day people are spending on their phone is like 5 to 7 hours, then you like look at how many hours you're actually sleeping, and then you look at the average like life expectancy of a human, say it was like 73 years or whatever, like you're barely living half the hours you have to exist because you're either sleeping or on your phone.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a depressing thought.
And then if you're just getting all of your info off Google as well, then Google's taking up loads of that sort of brain real estate and time that you've got as well.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I do think it is an interesting way of thinking about it, of like brain real estate. I quite like that as a metric.
That's a new thing of thinking, like, because at the end of the day, you can control what's going on in your brain, right? And if you're giving bandwidth to something, you're deciding to do that, whether it's an addiction to Googling stuff, definitely have had that before, or like, just being on like your phone and stuff like that. And the more time you spend doing that with certain companies, like the more they hook you in, right? And Google has literally got everyone searching for stuff. Like, you know, you'll even search for Wikipedia on Google to get to that point.
Yeah.
Like, they're like a link that your brain automatically makes now.
Yeah, people don't really type in websites anymore. It's just on a search engine. So I'm really curious to see, you know, where this goes. The US government does seem to be on a bit of a spree with taking on the internet, because obviously we've had the news stories of it taking on TikTok in recent years. Yeah. So
I don't know what's going on with that or if it even works.
But, yeah. So I will be curious to see if this is the beginning of...
the beginning of the end.
Well, or just, you know, like mass regulation of the internet by government bodies. And,
the internet was so fun when it was the Wild West, though. Like, I miss those days, man.
Bring
little Bebo sites.
I was going to say, bring
the
back
really bad,
Bebo.
Like, GIF. Yeah.
The glittery letters on your Pixo page.
Yeah. You're back home from school logging onto MSN Messenger with, like, I don't know, your song lyrics, with, like, your name.
Sending people a nudge.
That was flirting. Is that like the equivalent of liking someone's story on Instagram? Right?
Yeah, but way more invasive and annoying.
Yeah, but then the thing is, like, I like liking people's stories just because if it's something cool, I'm like, I never used to overthink it, and now I see so much stuff about it, I'm like, oh my God. Like,
I've been sending signals to all these people.
Like, no, I just like... I think that little button. I think we need more positivity in the world.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have like an extinction event for the internet as we know it, and then it'll be like post-apocalyptic. You know, the movies where the earth has reclaimed the cities and there's plants growing everywhere. Maybe we'll have like an internet landscape that's like that, where we're starting again.
You go. That sounds like a movement.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving very quickly from the internet to airplanes. I did some flight modules at university, so I've actually always kind of been interested in airplanes. And there is a hypersonic jet that they are developing to hopefully have a test flight next year in 2025 that would get you from New York to London in 60 minutes.
60 minutes?
Yeah, so an hour to get you to from New York to London.
That's less than someone's commute.
Yeah, exactly. It's less than, it's about the same time as my commute to work in a car. So yeah, it's going to hopefully reach speeds of up to Mach 6, which is 3,600 miles per hour.
Wow, okay. That's speedy.
Yeah, so it's developed by a startup engineering company called Venus Aerospace, and they're using this kind of new type of engine to enable hypersonic flight. Basically, what it'll do is it'll fly higher than traditional aircraft. So it'll use conventional jet engines for takeoff, and then it will transition to rocket propulsion. So you won't be in space, but you will be higher up. So you'll be able to see the curvature of the Earth, and the, it says the darkness of space above. And then obviously you'd be able to... somebody wrote that. Did a good job. But it could, you know, this could really unlock the next age of commercial flight.
So, right, obviously this sounds amazing and wonderful, but my brain right now is like, will this make you feel sick?
It's a good question. It'd be interesting to know. We obviously had the Concorde, which was supersonic, and that was New York to London in like 2 hours, yeah. 3 hours. I think it was 3 hours. Then it got retired because that was an analog aircraft. So because it was so old. So basically it got retired because it was too old to maintain anymore. You know, they had digital aircraft. So the people that could actually maintain an analog craft with like analog fly-by-wire autopilot and stuff, they were all retiring. So they were like, well, we can't maintain it anymore. So they have phased it out. And we've never had a successor, which I think is so interesting. Weird. That, you know, we had this...
gap in the market.
Yeah, exactly. We had this fantastic piece of technology and it never... That gap that it left hasn't been filled yet. So I think there's been a lot of development in this area looking at hypersonic, so that's even faster than supersonic. And you hear stories, don't you, about like, going into the stratosphere, you know, like literally going up to then come down, orbit the Earth for a bit and then come down. So
it makes me wonder why people were so focused on space, that this is literally staring you in the face.
But I think it's an interesting time to develop this, because I think there is obviously a lot of question about
sustainability
with the air industry and I don't know.
The Boeing drama.
Yeah, I feel
people
like...
People want new aircraft. Yes. That haven't been tested a lot.
Exactly.
Trust people right now.
Good point. But with, you know, a rocket propulsion engines, that does sound to me like it might use a lot of fuel. So it's interesting that we are having this development, but is it going to be that, you know, we bring these into force and then we go, actually, no, we can't use them because they're unsustainable and they're too damaging for the environment. It's an interesting time, I think.
It is. I mean, I'm still waiting for teleportation to be real, so I'm unimpressed until that happens. I'm joking.
60 minutes, that's still too long. I want 30 seconds.
Yeah, I want to snap my fingers and do that. I want Harry Potter.
I'm interested to see how it develops. You know, obviously it's saying that it's still a way off. They're doing a test flight next year. Whether that then gets pushed back further, who knows? But, you know, if it does happen, then that has the potential to, you know, really, if you can reduce flight times that much, are you going to unlock more tourism? It could be really exciting.
Where's that going to take us? No, it's a really interesting one. On the subject of, I don't know, drones, flying things, it's a great lead up into our next topic. So,
I see what you did there.
I know, right? Bees are being tracked with tiny radar chips and drones.
Oh.
So a team at the University of Oxford have been investigating how to help the declining insect and bird populations. I don't know if you've noticed, but I keep seeing, like, save the bees.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's that whole thing of, like, I don't know if it's, like, the butterfly effect, but if bee populations decline and if they die, like, the knock-on effect.
It's huge.
Pollination,
yeah,
plants,
yeah.
Animals being able to feed, that is crazy. What? Happen. So yeah, like, so the new BioTrax technology tracks the harmonic radar tags attached to bees with a receiver carried on a drone in a bid to improve understanding of what is happening to pollinators. So I guess we're just trying to, like, work out where they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What they're doing, you know, why are they disappearing? But yeah, so it's been found that more than 85% of plant species are insect pollinated, but 40% of insect species are at risk of extinction.
Damn, that's big.
So that could really affect the next generations if we don't sort this out.
I really like this use of technology, though, to look at these issues. Like, isn't it cool that we've created electronic sensors that are so small?
Yeah.
That you can give a bee a backpack.
That's literally it, what we're doing, you know. It's really interesting. One of my friends from Tenerife, I don't know if he's finished it now, but he was doing a PhD. I think it was wasps. It might have been bees, but he's very into entomology. And I didn't really know much about this until I started speaking to him at one point. But I'd be intrigued to see if, like, part of his PhD has been anything to do with this.
So, yeah.
Sam, if you're watching, give us a comment down below on Instagram and tell us where we're at with all of this. Because it's so interesting though. But I mean, do you think this is going to change the narrative about, you know, save the bees? What do you think?
Well, it'd be really interesting to see, you know, if they're able to... This is obviously, they've reported their results for this one study. If you're able to kind of track and get more data, I mean, that it's just, we've said this before, isn't it? Like, data is key. The more information that you have, it could be that if we're able to do studies like this and get that, like, really accurate data, that we can then use that information to enact change.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes if it's like, it, you know, if it can seem observational or it just seems like there's a discussion going on, but if you can be like, here's the facts.
Yeah.
Then maybe that is going to help, you know, drive change, create policies, because yeah, you're able to back it up.
So now we're not just doing sugar water for the bees. Now we're actually saving the bees with
little tracking devices.
With a little backpack.
The little backpack, it's cute. You know, I really want to put one of those GPS cameras and trackers on my cat. It's just some touch of bones. But if you see those videos online and they just get about, I'm so intrigued. I'm not going to do it because I think it's an invasion of Brenda's privacy.
She should be allowed to do whatever she wants. But it would be really cool. I'd be quite interested to, like, see that data, you know, if they, like, released the maps or whatever of the bees, of, like, this is where they go, this is what they do. That would be really cool.
That'd be cute, wouldn't it?
Well, we'll see if the buzz about that story continues.
Oh, my gosh.
I see what you did there, and I like it.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. We have released our first guest episode of our main podcast, Tech Girl Energy. It's with Ella Podmore, MBE, an amazing materials engineer, manager, one of the top automotive companies in the world. She's really awesome, really inspirational. So please check out that episode. Just search Tech Girl Energy on your favorite podcast platform, and you'll find it there.
Yep. And make sure you give us a rating and a review if possible as well, just so we know, like, if we're entertaining you or not. And also make sure to follow us on all our social media, TikTok, Instagram, like Amy mentioned, Tech Girl Energy.
See you next week.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.